Welcome. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? The sky is always cloudless. All that is looking is flawless sky-like awareness. All that is looking is forever empty awareness. There's never anything else looking. And that awareness is completely indivisible, pure like the infinite expanse of the sky. That's all I have to say. Do you have any questions? See you later. I'm going to go have some chai.
What is your opinion about this idea that can language transmit this awareness, or is it limited because of the fact that it's construction?
Referring to something you said yesterday toward the end of the satsang, you mentioned that some Tibetan lamas, supposedly enlightened, said they've been plagued by the five poisons all of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I may have misunderstood, but it is my understanding that someone who is fully enlightened is totally free of the five poisons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The so-called ground of being, as is referred to in the teachings, and source seem to be one and the same. I wonder how can it be that it seems so inobvious to directly experience the ground of being, e.g. source, and is it really the same?
Do you think there's a way around this personal identity journey? So you once said that because children, they don't have, most of the time, they don't have someone as parents who's completely resting. And if they have, like in your case, what about your children? And is there a way around getting with five or six in this idea of I'm a separated personality? Might this be in the future or whatever?
A suggestion about the questions. You can ask any question you like, but one way to make supreme use of your time here is to clarify your experience of resting as awareness. And so asking questions directly related to your own experience of awareness and anything you'd like to clarify about your understanding or experience.
You have suggested that we should, from faultless awareness, see everything as faultless awareness till everything becomes or everything is faultless awareness. So it is easy to do within ourselves, and let us say when we are perceiving other human beings or maybe animals even, but how do we do that for inanimate things, let us say for wall? How do I see awareness in wall?
In void?
In wall or anything, table. Let us say a pillar or a table. Yeah.
In the wall. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So how do I see that, let us say, in those things which are inanimate?
That's a good
right.
question.
So that is a little bit of a problem.
Thank you, Anil. Benny?
I want to ask again, how can a simple sentence as rest is awareness can become so complicated?
Too much thinking. I had to answer that one right away.
It might seem a strange question, but how do you really know if you are resting as awareness and it's not the mind thinking that you are, when in fact you're not?
Yeah, if there were a mind, that would be a problem.
About own experience, and just to clarify that, for me, with this resting, I don't see, there's no change. There's no change on the way I see anything. The things look the same. The way I feel about people is the same. Nothing has changed at all. But there seem to be less need for thinking about things. There seem to be a lot of time where I'm really not thinking and not really needing to think. And then when I am in a situation where there is a conversation, I see myself thinking. Or it's like, oh, now I'm thinking again. And I see maybe it's not really even needed. It was kind of a waste of time doing this whole thinking because it didn't lead me anywhere. But there's no change in my way of seeing anything or my way. I don't feel more rested than I used to. I don't. Do you know what I mean? Is that? Yeah. Should I feel more rested or see things in a different way or?
Very good. All right, let's launch right into this. Well, first of all, nothing needs to change. So nothing whatsoever needs to change about anything that's going on with the thinking or the emotions or the sensations or the experience. Nothing needs to change about anything to rest as undistracted awareness. The experience of undistracted awareness is simply one of complete perceptual openness in all experience, but without any need to make anything more of it out of that. And because many of us have a big habit of making something out of everything that appears, it may seem either too difficult or too easy to just rest as awareness. Now, when we're resting as awareness, we're not looking for awareness. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not looking for awareness. It's awareness that's looking. So, you see, if what's looking is looking for itself, it's going to get very confusing. Just rest as the looking. Just the looking alone, just the seeing, that is naked awareness. That is totally bare awareness. And it is forever undistracted by whatever appears. Forever empty awareness is. It simply is. So forever empty awareness is all there is. All points of view that occur within forever empty awareness already are completely relaxed, as they only are. The pure sky of awareness and nothing else. So there's never any effort to rest. It's just the essence of what's looking. That's what awareness is. Awareness isn't an object to look for. It's all that is present as the looking itself. And when we enjoy just that without seeking anything or describing anything that appears, then that looking is what becomes more obvious. Just the looking, just the naked looking. Otherwise, we're all involved with the labels, all the words in the dictionary, that's what we're involved with. And we're trying to create an elaborate reality out of putting together all these words in some kind of sense that makes gives our life meaning, that shows us that life really does have meaning. So we're always trying to convince ourselves somehow that life makes sense and has meaning through putting together all the words in the dictionary. But unless we know the two aspects of all the words in the dictionary, in other words, that every word that is in the dictionary has two aspects. It has its forever empty nature as one aspect, the always abiding aspect, the always resting aspect, and it has its description or label. So these two together are what comprise forever empty awareness. The flawless knower, its knowing, knows all appearances according to these two aspects. In forever empty awareness, which is forever undistracted, there is never distraction by anything because there's never anything to be distracted by. But that can't be arrived at through thinking about it. It simply cannot be arrived at by thinking about it. It's only in just allowing the complete restfulness, the restful alertness of this looking to be the case in all circumstances. Then we begin to see all as it is, whether it's something that seems to be inner or something that seems to be outer, whether it's an animate object or an inanimate object. All that appears has its only source and origin in the flawless knower. There is nothing else knowing. There is nothing else seeing. So all we're doing is resting at the root of knowing and seeing. That's all that's occurring. We're resting as the very root of knowing and seeing. And in that, all is known as it is. It's very uncomplicated. It's very easy. It's very comfortable. It isn't something that requires any doing or any effort. In the beginning, there may be the slightest, it may seem like there's someone who is engaging in a slight effort to rest, but that what is looking is entirely restful. It's entirely restful, just like the vast sky is completely at rest. And one of the things we can count on about the sky and space altogether is that it always is as it is, no matter what goes on within it. Atomic bombs can go off, nuclear blasts, volcanoes erupt, meteors explode in space, shooting stars, the sun comes into being and then disappears 20 million years from now, but space never changes. It never changes, no matter what its appearances, and all its appearances are comprised of forever empty space and nothing else. What is indivisible from that space is awareness, and awareness is simply that is looking. There's never anything else looking, never anything else seeing, never anything else knowing. So you see, this is a simple way to understand it. Now, this matter of a personal identity, it's just made up. It's an entire fiction. It's repeating to ourselves over and over again, I am somebody, individual, and I exist as I am, and I have an independent nature that is separate from the independent nature of everyone else and everything else that is living. And when we, from the time we're small, are when we hear that over and over again, then that's what we get used to. So we simply adopt it in that way. And that doesn't make it something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because we're told something over and over again, it doesn't make it something. It's just like someone could say the sky is red over and over again, but that wouldn't make the sky red. So the same is true with our own being. Just because someone says you have an individual identity, that's the first point of view that we take up and take to be something. We say, yes, you know, I have an individual identity. This is who I am. But the individual identity, just like every other label in the dictionary, is forever empty space. It's forever empty space. That is its ultimate definition. So to get caught up in labels and what they mean, Well, it's just endless folly. It's spending our whole lifetime in a state of unlove. That's what it boils down to. When we relax as what's looking, when we relax as what's seeing, then, only then, do we discover totally unpretentious love, completely unpretentious, naked love and wisdom. So this is what we all want more than anything. Everyone is seeking love. That's really what's being sought. And that love, it doesn't come from any of the appearances. It doesn't come from other people doing what we consider to be loving. And it doesn't come from having the right job. It doesn't come from having the right relationship. It doesn't come from money. It doesn't come from food. It doesn't come from sex. It doesn't come from any appearance, yet it is all appearances. But you see, we can never figure that out through the mental grind of thinking about it. When we just rest as what's looking, then the all-pervasiveness of the seeing of that starts to penetrate everything without us ever thinking about how this is going to come about. So if we just relax, what's more and more obvious is the complete indivisibility of everything. That forever empty awareness has never been divided into anything. It's never been made into anything. When it is said that everything, no matter what it is forever empty awareness, it means exactly that. Everything, no matter what it is forever empty awareness. Nothing whatsoever needs to change. So it doesn't matter what the thoughts are, it doesn't matter what the emotions are, it doesn't matter what the experiences are. Nothing needs to change at all. The unalterable rest, completely undistracted rest as awareness is always the case. It's always already the case. So if we think even for an instant that any of our thoughts need to change, or any of our emotions need to change, or any of our experiences need to change in order to rest as awareness, then we'll be very far from that, because nothing whatsoever needs to change. So when living Buddhas say or write that for all of my life the five passions raged in me, they're not saying I acted out and was distracted by the five passions. They're saying nothing needs to change. Nothing whatsoever needs to change. It's in the undistractedness of everything that appears just as it is that timeless wisdom and love and tremendous energy are realized. So most of us, we get into this mental exhaustion, state of mental exhaustion of just trying to change our thoughts into good thoughts so we can find happiness, of changing our emotions into good emotions so we can find happiness. But all that is exhaustion. It's not happiness. We'll never find happiness through that approach. The unalterable happiness is the happiness of awareness that isn't distracted by whatever appears. It's the forever empty awareness that isn't even distracted by distraction. So you see all these mental games of saying, oh, I have to make my thoughts just that way, or I have to understand this business of resting as awareness intellectually, or how does it fit in with other philosophies? All that, it just leads us very far from resting as awareness. When we rest as awareness, then we really start to see the essence of everything as it is. And you could even come here to this room, say at least 6 times, and just think that this was the weirdest, most ridiculous thing you have ever heard, and somehow it will start to work in you. Somehow it will start to work in you. It will be obvious in your own experience that what is talked about here is absolutely real. You know, so I see this happen over and over again. And so the traditionally it's said that it's possible to communicate the reality of who we are in many different ways. So it can be communicated through speech, and it can be received through hearing. It can be communicated through gestures. It can be communicated simply by the one who abides as flawless awareness in a way that is fully evident and obvious at all times by just thinking about someone else. It can be communicated by just having the sight of someone who is abiding as flawless awareness, in other words, just seeing them. That there are very powerful ways of this being communicated that can't possibly be understood through thinking about it. So the reality of living our lives based upon the points of view that occur within all-encompassing awareness is that we spend all of our lives in kind of an ordinary, robotic type of existence, just a mechanical sort of existence of constantly sorting out thoughts, emotions, and experiences. So this is why it is said that this is a state of unlove, because we're not meant to be with ourselves in that way. That's why it's a state of unlove. We're not meant to be flogging ourselves. Do you know what flogging is? And whipping ourselves every moment of our life, trying to sort out all of our thinking and all of our emotions and accumulating more good thoughts and accumulating more good emotions, because none of this needs to change. There's nothing that can be done about it. Anything that we're trying to do about it in resting as awareness, whatever we're seeking to do about our thoughts and emotions will be found in resting as awareness. So this is very good news. This is why it's called wisdom, because the source of all knowing is found in the simplicity of what's looking. The total simplicity of what's looking. The total love of what's looking. The appearances, no matter what they are forever empty. They're forever stainless. They're forever flawless. So if we attempt to make them into something that is stained or flawed, or better or worse, then we'll be very far from realizing our own flawless nature. So, you don't have to do anything. I say rest is awareness, but you really don't even have to do that. Just relax. Come here and relax, and after a while you'll go, I was happy for 5 minutes today, and I've never been happy in my life. Everyone's always complained about it, but suddenly I'm happy for 5 minutes. How did this come about? So you see, what is. It doesn't need to be manipulated in any way to have it come about. And even if your thoughts continue to do their acrobatics and gymnastics, whatever they're doing in there, don't worry about it. There are many people right here today who came for the first time and didn't believe anything and didn't want to do anything, but they kept coming back. And You know, one man came, and he's here. And you know, he said, this goes against everything I've learned from the two gurus I've had, and I'm tired of going to gurus, and I don't want to do anything. I don't even want to rest. And you know, he sat in the back row like this. I said, that's fine. You know, everybody's welcome here. I said, just keep turning up here. Keep coming back. And then the next day he was here. And he was here every day, all day until I left. So, you know. Now the evidence of that, just through turning up without trying to make anything out of it, just kind of a nice place to hang out and be. Here's the result. So, you know. Now, here's the thing about the ground of being, which is the ultimate reality of everything. It cannot be ignored because it's all that is. So you see, there's nothing to look for anywhere else. There's really nothing to look for anywhere else. And if we're using our looking to look somewhere else for what's looking, oh dear. Oh dear, that's going to be like having a day where we have about 20 loads of laundry to do. It's going to be no fun. We're just going to be doing the laundry every single minute. You know, if we don't have a washing machine, we'll be down by the river in our bucket or wherever. But even if we have a washing machine, it's still going to be a lot of work, 20 loads of laundry. So if we're looking for what's looking, then oh dear. If we just relax, then what's looking is very obvious in a very simple way. When it's said that all the points of view that appear and have been demanding attention resolve in the basic space of timeless awareness, or they're exhausted in the basic space of timeless awareness, or they cease in the basic space of timeless awareness. When we hear that through our ordinary way of thinking dualistically, what most of us think is that those emotions and thoughts disappear forever. That they just completely disappear, that we enter some kind of non-conceptual state where there's never any concern about anything. And that's far from the case. So when a living Buddha says, the five passions raged in me all my life, this is what they're talking about. They're not saying, I was distracted by these. They're saying, listen up. Don't expect anything to change. And they're not saying that I was just an uncompassionate idiot all of my life. They're saying that due to coming to a complete understanding of my own nature, in which all of these passions were resolved in the basic space of awareness, the warmth of compassion came into full bloom in me. A compassion so obvious that I was called a living Buddha. So you see, this is very important to understand. Teachings are only of four kinds related to points of view. The first kind is indulge points of view. Now, many of us, that's what we learn to do. We learn to indulge our points of view. So that's the first teaching we receive. And then another teaching is to avoid points of view. Now, sometimes some of us learn through certain kinds of teachings to avoid points of view. And examples of avoiding points of view or what traditionally could be called the passions is some examples of that would be to go into solitude or to become celibate. Those are two examples of avoiding points of view. The third is to replace points of view with other points of view. So, for example, the sexual desire is raging, or anger is raging, or jealousy is raging. So to replace those with having happy thoughts or doing good works or a combination of the two, cultivating compassion, things like that. So those are three different kinds of teachings related to points of view. And all three of these approaches to points of view, in other words, everything that appears, there is a doer doing something. So in the first case, there's a personal identity who's indulging points of view. In the second case, there's a personal identity who's avoiding points of view. And in the third case, there's a personal identity who's adopting better points of view. In the fourth approach, there only is flawless awareness, and that is to rest as awareness. And from flawless awareness, see all as flawless awareness until all is flawless awareness. It's as simple as that. In awareness, from the beginningless beginning, there's never been a doer. There isn't some kind of substantialized entity that has an independent nature who is a doer or a personal identity. This has never occurred. It's entirely make-believe. And the point of view of a personal identity is absolutely equal to every other point of view. All it is forever empty awareness. It's nothing other than that. The Kleenex, please. If we're so convinced that we have a personal identity, then it's important to examine the label of personal identity. When we say personal identity, what we're referring to is that there is someone who's located somewhere. So that's what we're really saying. We're saying that there is someone and they're located somewhere. And so then when we look into the personal identity, in order to understand this label, we have to find its underlying meaning or basis. And when we look into this label of a personal identity, what we need to find is that someone. We need to find that someone, say, okay, I've assumed there is someone. Now where is that someone located? And we can each do this. We can look within ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to find that someone. Where are they located? And I'm going to find who's at the control panel here. I'm going to find the doer. And I'm going to find the one who's piloting the rocket ship through life. And when we look, we say, okay, you know, where is this someone located? Are they located in the brain? Well, no, we can't really conclusively prove that. And not only can we not definitively conclude that, but no scientist has ever been able to definitively conclude that. Or maybe some of you may even be scientists, and maybe you've looked into that or maybe not. But no one has ever been able to definitively conclude that there is someone and that someone is dwelling in the brain. And when we look into all the other organs of the skin too, we find that we can't find someone in any of those places. And when we look into the subatomic particles that the body's made up of, we can't find anyone there either. All we find are subatomic particles. And if we put those particles in a particle accelerator, boom, there's nothing there but space. So what we've shown is that this someone who is located somewhere is actually comprised of space. That's what we've shown. So we show ourselves through this kind of simple examination, we can develop a very simple fundamental understanding about our own nature. That even though we've assumed that we are somebody and that we're located somewhere, and that someone was born, that someone is living now, and that someone will die someday, that even though that we've assumed that, when we look into it in a simple mental way, we can see that there's no one dwelling anywhere. And then when we see that, when we see that there's no one dwelling anywhere, it's easy to see that this applies to other labels as well. And that all these labels are equal. They're all equal in being points of view that are comprised of aware, pure space and nothing else. So in this way, we can simply relax. There's nothing that needs to be done about a personal identity. As long as we believe in it, we'll keep it in place. So if we say, okay, yeah, there is someone here and they need to do something about all these nasty points of view. They need to do something about these appearances, like the lion tamer, taming all the appearances. But there's nothing that needs to be done. There are no tricks or gimmicks that need to be employed. Just in what's looking and what's seeing, all more and more is seen as flawless awareness. When we rest as that, it becomes obvious that flawlessness is all there is. That this forever stainlessness is absolutely all that is the case. If we start to think about it, oh, wow, this is great, or who's thinking, or should I be thinking, or anything, just keep resting. There are lots of thoughts that can come up. The more familiar we become with the undistractedness of all-pervasive awareness, the more our thinking will be of a different nature. So we'll still have thoughts, of course, and emotions too, but they shift. They shift from being totally obsessed with a personal identity, its well-being, its thoughts and its emotions, all the other labels that are attributed to the personal identity. Instead of being so self-absorbed, the thoughts and emotions are ones of incredible compassion for ourselves and the way we've lived our lives and what we've put ourselves through this obsessive thought process whereby we take everything to be something. And when we develop that compassion for ourselves that can only be tapped into through flawless rest, then we automatically have that compassion for everyone else. So this is an uncultivated compassion. It's just an obvious compassion that's at the root of everything. A compassion of so much love, of just so much love, where all there is love for everyone and everything. Just complete, total love. Love that can never be diverted in any way. True love. Truly real love. Not love that's kind of made up and fabricated by putting a bunch of contributing circumstances together. When we find that the fundamental ground of our own being is that undistracted, unalterable, flawless love, wisdom, and energy, then we love without conditions. We love completely without conditions. We love ourselves in an ultimate way, and also we're able to love others. If we're looking for love, then just relaxes what's looking. Because what's looking is the love. So if we're looking for love, you see we've taken a few crab steps away from what's looking is love. In the mind of sky-like space, whatever appears is sky-like space, forever empty and totally free. Doesn't matter what its label is. There's no separation. There's never been any separation of any kind between forever flawless awareness and anything else. There's never been a between anywhere. So nothing needs to change. Just completely give up the fight. Have you ever seen a boxing match? You know, that's where two people bludgeon and pummel each other. Maybe you've even been involved in a few, whether they were spontaneous or organized. Well, within ourselves, when we spend our lives in this grueling practice of trying to organize all of our thoughts and emotions, that's what it's like. It's like a boxing match within ourselves where we're constantly pummeling ourselves. So, when we first hear that nothing needs to change, many of us think, how can that be? You know, if I just let my thoughts run wild and my emotions run wild, I'll turn into a barbarian. We become afraid of our thoughts and emotions. We consider them as foes or enemies, as something that can get one over on us, like there's a demon living inside. So when we hear that nothing needs to change, for some of us we get scared because it's like, oh wow, now everybody's going to find out what I'm really like. If I'm not busy changing all those thoughts and feelings, everybody's going to find out what I'm really like. And especially me, I'm going to find out what I'm really like. It doesn't seem possible that nothing needs to change. But you know, don't be afraid. If the fear comes up, just rest as the fear. It'll go away. See, forever stainless sky-like mind, it's never been flawed in any way, and it's never held to anything. It's never been made into anything. So it's never been made into something, and it's never been made into nothingness either. It's never been made into anything. So when it comes to the nature of our own minds, no matter how compelling all these thoughts and emotions may be, in resting as awareness, there's something exceedingly powerful that will be realized about your own being, and that is that your own being is the source of tremendous love, wisdom, and energy. Love, wisdom, and energy that's beyond anything that you can study in books. Way beyond. And that's found or discovered only in impeccable awareness. Impeccable awareness that never moves to distraction by what appears. And not moving to distraction by what appears, seamlessness occurs. First, it might seem that there's awareness like a tiger, and the prey is point of view. Awareness is stalking that point of view, and it's going to gobble it up. But don't even worry about that. Just rest as awareness, and the two, what seem to be two, will blend into not two. There's no struggle involved, no seeking. What could be more loving than that? What could be more loving? The total ease of being. As all is love, then being in touch with love, being connected to the love that is the essence of our being, being connected to the wisdom that is the essence of our being. It couldn't be like a life of being in the army boot camp, could it? Where we're doing, 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 and there's never enough done. Right, Simon? Where life is an endless march and we've got our weapons, we're going to strike down the nasty points of view. Whatever kinds of problems are being faced in life, their resolution is in impeccable awareness. And like I said, you don't, if you're just fed up with everything and sick and tired of being sick and tired, just keep coming back. Come as much as you can and stay all day. You're very welcome. No matter how tweaked you feel, or no matter what you were doing before you arrived here today or arrived here in India, it really doesn't matter whether you're the worst person on earth or the best person on earth, the craziest person on earth, the sanest person on earth, the most uneducated person on earth, the most educated person on earth. Just hang around. And all these designations that you've attributed to yourself, they'll subside. And you'll look in the mirror and you'll go, wow, who is that? What happened to all that woe and agony in my face? Where did it go? Did somebody turn on a light inside my skin? Why is it shining like that? The great equalness. The great equalness of everything as it is. When we give the ultimate gift to ourselves, then we automatically see in doing so simple changes that can come about in the world, you know. Only through each of us resting in the impeccability of timeless wisdom can we see how to benefit others, such as our children. Now, when I realized that nothing needed to be changed about myself, and all my thinking and emotions, then I realized that nothing needed to be changed about anyone, including children, husband, brother, sisters, mother, father, everyone. That opens up tremendous expansiveness in relationship when all is flawless. Are there any other questions that anyone would like to ask? If you're thinking, I've got to get this, I've got to understand, just relax. If you're thinking this is like such and such, just relax. Or if you're thinking, is this like such and such? Just relax. When you come to the sublime understanding of your own thinking, then you come to the sublime understanding of everybody's thinking. Then you know what everybody's thinking. And it's all okay. It's not like an espionage threat. Supreme intelligence sees all as flawless, forever flawless.
May seem perhaps silly, but I just gotta say it. I'm starting to see more and more that avoidance of certain thoughts. Yeah. I'm seeing now that I've actually trained myself not to think certain thoughts anymore. Yeah. But even more shocking is that I actually probably by nature enjoy these thoughts. Like, you know, I sometimes just love to be to have certain thoughts. They're actually pretty dark. Like, I find them utterly funny, and I just like to look at them. But I've also seen what becomes of people that really harbor these thoughts and really live after them, and I don't want to go there. But I'm also starting to see that, okay, you have a dark side, haven't you? And actually, you like it too, don't you? But this, yeah, if I'm more honest with myself, I actually just like that. But is it safe to, you know, acknowledge that belongs to awareness too? And if you, you know, admit that and sit there and enjoy it, does it not lead you into places and situations and with people that I really don't want to go? You know what I mean?
You don't even need to think about that. Just keep resting as awareness. And whereas now you've been trying to avoid certain thoughts, in resting as awareness, you'll see that the thoughts vanish on their own. And you remain as pristine awareness. If you've trained yourself to avoid the thoughts in this training, then all the thoughts will be noticed to just vanish on their own. There's nothing that needs to be done about them. They have no information that'll make you do anything. You see what I'm saying? remain as awareness, and then there will be no one to be affected by the thought.
Enjoyment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do believe that it's when there is deep enjoyment, you know, just deep enjoyment about anything, that is all right, isn't it?
Deep enjoyment.
Yeah.
Find the ultimate enjoyment in awareness. The ultimate enjoyment is awareness, not the thought. All thoughts are completely relaxed and disappear on their own. So to try to do something about them makes it seem like they're not going to disappear on their own. They need some help. They will disappear on their own, just like the puff of smoke in the sky, just like a rainbow disappears and can't really say when it came about or when it ended.